U.S.-China tensions rise as the U.S. makes it clear Chinese firms should not thwart sanctions on Russia. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, leaders in the U.S. Congress have struck a deal to fund the federal government this year and provide new aid to Ukraine. Both houses of Congress are expected to vote on it this week. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us with more.
This is a $1.5 trillion spending bill. It includes more than $13 billion in emergency aid for Ukraine. It looks like about half that money would go for humanitarian aid, with the other half for defense of Ukraine and other NATO allies in the region. The bill also allows the U.S. to transfer military equipment to Ukraine and those other allies.
All right, it's a big, massive bill. What else is in here?
Of course, funding for every government agency. And remember, David, the federal government's fiscal year started on October 1st. So it's been operating on last year's budget since then, because it's taken until now for Congress to agree on a spending bill. There's also more than $15 billion to fight COVID. That will allow the U.S. to buy vaccines, antivirals, and other drugs. The idea is to be prepared if another variant pops up.
See a timeline here?
The House is expected to pass the legislation later today. It'll then go to the Senate for a vote later in the week. Congress has passed a series of stopgap bills to keep the government funded. The latest runs out Friday night, so it looks like Congress will have to pass another measure temporarily funding the government while it finishes voting on the larger bill.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, thank you. Market players seem calmer this morning, willing to buy riskier assets like stocks, with Dow futures up 442 points, 1.4%, S&P futures up 1.5%, the NASDAQ future up 1.9%. Some of this may be oil prices coming back down some from the 7% spike yesterday after President Biden announced a ban on Russian oil imports. Prices are moderating a bit this morning. Crude traded in New York is back under $120 a barrel on a drop of 3.3% now. Still, this has become an era of high energy prices. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Russia accounts for about 7% of the world's oil supply, but there are signs Russia is having trouble finding buyers. Analysts say there are dozens of ships out at sea with Russian oil on board. Goldman Sachs estimates more than half of the cargo is unsold. JP Morgan puts the rate higher at 70%. Traders may be concerned about inadvertently violating sanctions, for example, over foreign payments. There are also reputational risks. Shell had to apologize after buying a cargo of Russian oil last week. With fewer buyers, Russia may have to sell its oil at a discount, even as global prices rise. That would put further pressure on its economy. The rating agency Fitch says it's now likely that Russia will miss at least some of the $107 million in bond payments due next week. Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency says the U.S. and other countries may release more oil from their stockpiles to try to ease supply constraints. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
Now, two key pressure points for the U.S. on Russia: sanctions against industries that do business in Russia and cutting off U.S. exports of key products, including advanced technology to Russia. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo is saying that the U.S. could cut off software and tools to Chinese firms that keep supplying Russia in defiance of sanctions. Raimondo singled out a big China-based microchip maker called Semiconductor Manufacturing International. At a government briefing, a spokesman for Beijing said, quote, China will take all necessary measures to resolutely defend Chinese companies and individuals' rights.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
State of Washington could adopt a law governing the gig economy. State lawmakers have passed a bill that offers drivers for companies like Uber and Lyft new benefits, but those drivers couldn't get classified as employees. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Washington is the latest state to grapple with how to get rideshare drivers benefits like sick leave and minimum pay while still giving them control over their schedules. And lawmakers sought input from some in organized labor.
I feel good about it. It's a good deal.
Peter Quill is the president of the Washington-based Drivers Union, a group run by the Teamsters Local 117. Quill is a former rideshare driver. He wants benefits and security for gig workers, but also wants them to remain independent contractors.
I love it to be that independent.
There have been moves in other parts of the country, most notably California, to make companies like Lyft and Uber classify workers as employees instead of independent contractors. In California, the gig companies spent millions to help pass a ballot measure that, like the Washington bill, gives drivers some benefits without employee status. Laura Padin with the National Employment Law Project says this bill could set a dangerous precedent.
This industry isn't special. And it shouldn't be treated as if it's entitled to this special carve-out from labor and employment rights.
While the bill provides some benefits, they fall short of those afforded to employees under federal law. Benjamin Sachs at Harvard Law School says under that law, employees can still have control over their hours.
There is nothing inconsistent between being an employee and having a flexible work arrangement.
He points out remote workers often set their own schedules and are still considered employees. But the pandemic and its disruptions to traditional work arrangements have called into question our system for providing benefits, says NYU business professor Arun Sundarrajan.
Today, more and more people are not employees or don't fit the definition well, but the benefits are tied to that status.
He says the Washington bill could be a model for providing benefits to workers who aren't traditional employees. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And there's news now. President Biden will sign an order today to frame future government oversight of cryptocurrency, with the U.S. Treasury and the Financial Stability Oversight Council taking lead roles. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.